name is Amy Santapietro, and we are excited to bring you our next installation of the Insights Association North Atlantic Chapter's podcast, DEI Matters. This podcast series discusses all things DEI within the Insights community and beyond. We hope you will join us for some insightful, challenging, and fun conversations, and then be motivated to act. First, we would like to recognize and thank our sponsors who have helped to make this initiative possible. Zappi, Forsta, Digital Research Incorporated, AMS, and CFR. Now on to today's topic. Naive, lazy, socially conscious, entitled, clueless, inspired, connected. These are all words that have been used to describe Gen Z, a term that loosely assembles those born between 1995 and 2010. Not just teenagers anymore, Gen Z members are rapidly entering the workforce and changing the way that companies recruit, interact with their employees, operate, and show up in market. Today, we're thrilled to invite to the stage Steph Strickland, who is the Senior Director of Research at Juve Consulting, a research firm focused on elevating the voices of Gen Z consumers. As a member of Gen Z herself, Steph has spent her illustrious career working in market research, specifically through the lens of social and environmental impact. Steph, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you about this.
That's great. So let's start with you a little bit. Can you tell us about your background and experiences that have shaped your perspective and definition of DEI?
Absolutely. So I think just as your very wonderful introduction to all of the things that Gen Z is or people believe us to be would allude to, there's this false notion that people in my generation are born with this sort of social consciousness that's innate. Like we come out of the womb and we're like talking, sharing our pronouns, and we know exactly all of the right socially conscious things to say. And while that's certainly true to a certain extent, we have this sort of culture that's permeated among young people that we do care about those sort of things. I had a sort of different journey into this where from a young age, I didn't necessarily get all of that. I had this understanding of DE&I as to be inclusive is to see the people around me as being the same as me, to be equal. We are on the same plane of existence. And I think growing up and going to school and spending so much of my career studying social impact and getting into the weeds of how language impacts people's perceptions of the world and how social impact relates to young people and youth culture and all of these things, I kind of learned that DE&I was much less about being the same and much, much more about being different and celebrating all of the ways that we're different and making space for all of the ways that we're different. And that's kind of what I've come to know DE&I as today. And so it's not something that's innate. It's not something we're born with. It's something we really have to go out of our way to educate ourselves on. And we'll, even when you're Gen Z and even when you're kind of born into this very socially connected era of the world.
Thank you. So you just touched on a lot of this, but to your point, Gen Z is often credited by those outside of Gen Z with being more socially conscious and more aware of DE&I issues. And you just, you know, talked beautifully about how that's not always the case, or it might look different for different members of your generation. So you just touched on this, actually. But to your point, Gen Z is often credited, often by those outside of Gen Z, with being more socially conscious and more aware of diversity, equity, and inclusion issues. How do you think, or why do you think your generation is different regarding making a difference in this space?
Yeah, so I think Gen Z is very different from previous generations in a lot of ways, but also very similar to previous generations in a lot of ways. And so I'll first touch on all of the ways that we're different. And I think really to our core that comes down to, we are multicultural. As a cohort, we are the most multicultural generation to date. Nearly half of us have this sort of identity that is marginalized, and nearly half of us also are coming out as queer in some capacity and part of the LGBTQ community. And so when we talk about these sort of DE&I issues, it's less about affecting other and more about affecting self. And so in that sense, I think we're very different from other generations, because there's this intrinsic motivation that comes from these sorts of issues because it affects us every day. And then conversely, I think we are very similar to other generations. I actually saw this TikTok that I really loved, and I wanted to share on this thought. And also, everyone always says, I read something somewhere, when we all actually saw it on TikTok. And so I'm just going to admit to the fact that I saw it on TikTok up front. But basically, it was this reel of all of the different ways over the last 100 and 1,000 years that every older generation has been frustrated or felt annoyed by or didn't understand the younger generation, right? It's kind of the through line of history where we always look back and we're like, I don't really get you guys. And even me as a Gen Zer sitting here, when I think of Gen Alpha, I kind of like recoil and I'm like, ooh, those guys, like, what are they doing? Right. And I think the ways that we are the same are the ways that we can kind of push the change to happen. And so when I think about like what it feels like to be 24, I think it's very uncomfortable. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm kind of entering a system that I had no say in how it was constructed, and maybe a little bit of hope and a little bit of fear about whether or not it can be changed. And I think if older people, and I hope that when I'm older, I look back at people my age and think this, we're just like, I remember that feeling too. And maybe there's some change that can happen there. And I think that's the sort of like generational collaboration that needs to happen, that I think we've totally got the grounds for now, because we have things like social media, we have things, tools of connectivity that we haven't always historically had, where, you know, older generations were just hating on younger generations and it was all disconnected. But young people have always been the source for cultural change, and it always has started in classrooms. It's always started in these sort of youth culture moments and then trickled into the rest of culture. And so every generation has made major changes. And I think every young generation is just looking to the old generation to hear us out.
I love that analogy. And I'm going to give away my age here when I say I saw a meme on Facebook that said, we walked with Facebook so that you could run with TikTok. So you're welcome. Put that out there. You mentioned when we were chatting earlier that you had recently attended an environmental conference.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that and how it fits into your personal mission.
Yeah. So I think it fits both into my professional mission and my personal mission, which I don't think have to be mutually exclusive. So I have the opportunity to work at Juve Consulting, which is a purpose-driven marketing agency. We are focused on Gen Z as a cohort, but most importantly, we're focused on the sort of cultural and social impact that young people generally have, and elevating those voices so they're actually heard in important ways, right? And so part of my job as a researcher on Gen Z is to show up in the spaces that Gen Z cares about. And Gen Z is disproportionately carrying the weight of the climate crisis on their back. And we also know it's something that they think about and care about all the time. And it's, to hit on a quick little buzzword, it's intersectional. We are impacted disproportionately by the climate crisis. And it has these sort of impacts across the multicultural spheres of Gen Z in a way that I need to understand as a researcher. And so I participate in these sorts of events because I find it as an opportunity to hear those sort of narratives that I otherwise wouldn't. And so showing up in the spaces that Gen Z cares about is really important. And we just did a study recently where we found 70% of our Gen Z respondents cared about buying sustainably, but only 33%, roughly a third, found that to be accessible. And so when we talk about accessibility, there is this sort of through line of accessibility in DE&I, and there is this through line of accessibility in social impact. And all of it kind of weaves together in this really intricate intersectional web that can sometimes be really intimidating and hard to understand, but it really is just about showing up in those spaces and hearing out those narratives.
Well, that accessibility piece, I want to pause on that for a moment, because it has to do with what you can access, but it also has to do with how companies are showing up today in creating products and services for everyone, you know, Gen Z and all generations. And so I'm curious about, not just from a consumer perspective, but as a employee perspective, how is this issue and others impacting decisions as to where Gen Z wants to work? And what are their expectations for their employers today?
Yeah, so I think to call back again to some of the words that you used in your intro, there's this feeling of young people and Gen Z in particular being really entitled. Like we enter the workplace and we want it all. And frankly, maybe we do. I mean, who doesn't want a job where you get paid a whole bunch of money to not do a whole bunch and can make an impact doing that, right? But the reality is we're willing to meet somewhere in the middle, and we have priorities with what we're looking for in our sort of in our employers. And in a study that we did on the future of work, we found that, of course, salary is going to come out on top. I mean, we have very little purchasing power at the moment. We are crippled by student debt. A recent study by Deloitte came out and said that people my age have 90% less wealth than our baby boomer predecessors did at our age, just in terms of the stretch and reach of our discretionary income. And so we know that salary is really important to young people, but really closely behind salary was passion for work, how your work makes an impact. So it's not just about social impact per se, and DE&I weaves into this very beautifully, but it's also just about finding meaning in what you do and being able to see that back. And I think a lot of that comes from creating spaces where people can make an impact at your company, and from creating spaces where people can commune and meet people who are like them and feel seen in the company culture. And all of that sort of makes an impact in the work that we do. And that was really, really important to Gen Z when we tested in our Future of Work study.
So many companies that I've spoken to or HR departments that I've collaborated with have mentioned having a difficult time recruiting Gen Z candidates. And I'm curious, in your mind, what are, you know, the top two or three things that companies can do to signal that they want to be an employer of choice for Gen Z members?
I think the impact piece is really important, but it's really hard to show that in a job description, right? Like, it's really hard to get that across from the get-go. But I think mentorship can be a really important way to create space for Gen Z. A lot of Gen Zers do not feel they have enough mentorship opportunity. They're going to college really purely just for the opportunity to make connections that will get them into their industry. And then they get out there and they're like kind of feeling out in the cold on their own, right? And so just a feeling of being supported through that process. And I think the last piece of it is just meeting Gen Z where they are. There's a lot of recruitment tactics being used in the HR space. And we can get a little novel with them. We can get a little creative. And if you're specifically looking for Gen Z creatives, they're not necessarily going to be on Indeed.com, right? And so go to where they are. And then that's where you're going to find that really exceptional talent. And so in addition to just doing the things inside of your workplace culture that make people feel seen and make people have an impact, I think you have to show on a public sphere that you're elevating those voices and you're providing membership and also mentorship and also, you know, getting to where they are with that message.
So when you speak about meeting people where they are, I think that's true. And I think that's something that as researchers, we try and enable our clients to do and see on a deeper level. Before we completely switch gears and talk specifically about research, I did want to ask one final question about working with Gen Zers. And that is, how can older generations better understand and collaborate with Gen Z in the workplace to foster a more inclusive environment?
Yeah. So I'm going to steal a baby boomer like colloquialism to start off this answer, which is like, if I had a nickel for every time somebody asked me, I don't know how to talk to Gen Z, or I've even gotten, I don't know how to talk to my kids. Can you help me like understand?
I don't know how to talk to my kids. Can you help
me? And that's a very normal feeling to just feel like we don't know how to communicate across these generational lines. And I think starting the conversation with that is kind of brave, just to say like, it levels the playing field. Gen Z is coming into the conversation probably intimidated, probably feeling some imposter syndrome, probably feeling some anxiety, probably feeling a little lost in their career. Even if they feel really confident about what they're doing or where they're headed, there's always this like fog of your early 20s that you don't really know what you're doing, right? And so I think coming to the conversation with Gen Z, even in a professional environment, and being like, I've been there, or I'm there now, and I see this and I understand this, and I don't know how to fix this perfectly, and I don't know how to, you know, manage this perfectly, but we're going to do it together, sort of thing. I think that can really empower a lot of young people to co-create with you, because I think that's what's worked really well for us at Juve, is that there's this feeling of constant collaboration, regardless of what your job title is or what background you have or experience you have. Your thoughts are valid and important, and you are here because what you have to say matters. And I think that's what the core of DEI is. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be something really separate from the sort of day-to-day conversations that we have. It's just this feeling of like, you're here for a reason, and we're all human, and we're all going to make mistakes, but we're all going to do it together. I think that's a really comforting space to enter when you're 22 and wide-eyed and entering your career for the first time.
I think that's great. Thank you. So in terms of being inclusive and elevating some of those voices, let's now switch to the topic of consumer insights and market research, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of people listening to this who would love to talk to more Gen Z individuals as a part of that work and as a part of their research, but transparently find it very challenging to find them through traditional research means. Yeah. So at Juve Consulting, how have you worked to reach this audience?
Yeah, so all of the work that we do at Juve is really community-based, because we realized something very important at the beginning of our research work and also just all of our work in general, which is that Gen Z has paved the way for the community first economy, which is that we are making decisions based on the collective. We are forming our identities in ourselves and then looking to our media to affirm that. And so when we collect data, doing so on this individual, very separate sort of way in a panel that you never see these people, and it just feels very disconnected, is not going to resonate as much as the sort of community first approach. And so what we've done is we've created a network of over 10,000 global Gen Zers that we've recruited from the ground up, from campuses or from events and things of that nature, where they are not just research respondents, they're part of our community. They're part of the Juve community, such that they have access to our full-time team. They have access to professional development opportunities. We send out job opportunities once a week based on the top industries that the folks in our network are interested in. And of course, we give out prizes and compensation for being a part of our research, which is a core reason why some people are there. But some people also just shoot memes on Discord and enjoy participating in the network that way. And so having this sort of community first approach feels really novel in a market research setting, where we have this sort of through line to the people that we're actually talking to within a market research setting. But it also allows us to really increase engagement and get people really excited about the research that we're doing, because they're not just random people on the internet. They're co-creators. And so we've actually done some really exciting work. For example, we've collaborated with a coach earlier this year. We had done a whole years-long research stint with them, where we curated a community who answered surveys and who participated in qualitative sort of sessions to give feedback on their upcoming brand release, Coachtopia, which was all upcycled purses and upcycled products. And through that process, people were able to give harsh, often, feedback about what they liked and didn't like about the brand and the products. And they never felt like they were shut down for that feedback. They always felt like it was welcomed. They had regular touch points with the brand and with our team to kind of give that sort of feedback. And then those same people made it into Vogue, talking about their participation in the community, and really got to see that come to life and be a part of the launch actively. And so it's just about bringing people in and seeing them as part of your team and someone to learn from and to learn with, rather than just kind of this one-off sort of interaction that we often have in a research setting.
Thank you for that. I think I'll be using some of those tactics in some upcoming work that we're doing. So I'll probably be giving you a call later to talk to them about them more in detail. Well, just one more question for you today. How do you envision the future in terms of DEI progress? And do you have any indication of what you'd like your own role to be in that progress?
Yeah, I think when I think of DEI, I think of it as being very naturally integrated into the way Gen Z sees the world, where we're creating communities for research, we're creating communities for commerce, we're creating these sort of spaces where we can feel seen and heard. And that doesn't have to be an afterthought. It doesn't have to be something that's just a team doing something separate from what the rest of your team is doing, but it's woven into how your company generates profit. It's just so naturally ingrained in what we do at Juve. We have an entire impact department, but those same impact leaders at Juve are account directors and strategists and speakers, and they do so much more than just talk about impact. They weave it into the work that we do across a whole slew of clients. And I've had the opportunity to work at Juve for a couple of years now, and I'm fairly early on in my career, and working with them has really shown me that DEI doesn't have to be so different from the day-to-day work we do. And it's really cool to get to work with so many young and diverse people and feel like they feel excited and empowered to share their story and that they have the space to do so. And I just think I'm really excited for a future where everyone feels that way. And we don't have to kind of create these separate conversations just to talk about DEI, that we're always talking about DEI. It's always kind of natural to our vernacular. And my role in this, frankly, I don't know exactly what it'll be. And I think that is the most Gen Z answer I could give.
Steph, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. And it's been lovely speaking with you today.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Steph Strickland, Senior Director of Research at Juve Consulting. Thank you so much for listening. We'd also like to thank one more time our sponsors, Zappi, Forsta, Digital Research Inc., AMS, and CFR. Thank you to the Insights Association, North Atlantic Chapter, Viraj and CJ, our sound engineers, and our social media experts.